You're listening to Made Theory. This is a show where you'll learn the ups and downs of growing a business, the lefts and rights of marketing, and the ever-changing world of advertising. In large part, this show will cover the theory of how people made it. Let's
go! So I want to start by talking about traffic. A lot of people have tried to solve the problem of traffic, but nobody's really succeeded. Major cities have a major problem with traffic, and I don't know of any solutions.
Where's the worst traffic you've been in?
Austin.
Really?
Austin traffic LA? Is worse than LA, I think, no. in a different way. So LA traffic is a little bit more unpredictable, maybe. Like, Austin traffic is pretty clear in the middle of the day. LA can be hit or miss.
Do you have a solution in
Austin,
mind?
Well, and Austin's a smaller city with a smaller infrastructure. I don't know. I don't really have a solution. This is something somebody needs to solve out there. I think Elon Musk is on he's on it, right?
By the underground track, right?
The tunnels. That's not going to work, though. How many cars does that thing hold? One at a time? So that doesn't solve anything at all. So that's stupid.
Maybe it can be a train of cars.
But that's already the freeway, so that wouldn't change anything either. A whole
but
train
it's
of
underground.
Freeway. That doesn't matter. What about an underground freeway, like the big, are you guys familiar with Boston and what they did there? Pretty much the entire road system is beneath the city.
The first time I went there, I got to the airport, and then I got to my hotel. I didn't see anything.
Like, because it's all underground. Yeah.
I was like, where am I? Find me a window.
I grew up with that, though, and that took, I don't know off the top of my head, but I want to say 10 or 20 years to complete. That was a huge project, and it already has issues, and they're already repairing parts of it.
What's crazy about LA in general, like, they have a massive amount of underground railroad systems that they were getting ready to build. They were going to have a huge, elaborate train system similar to New York. And the cars started coming out. You know, they really started pushing.
And then they went towards roads instead.
Because the whole oil companies got involved. And it's like they wanted to make that the standard rather than subway systems. And now you look back, it's like, that was so necessary, train systems and subways.
Right, and now they're trying to reverse that, but the problem is you have wealthy neighborhoods that are pushing back because they don't want the riffraff coming in on the train. I know the major issue with the LA train system is they can't get it through like the Beverly Hills and even the Brentwood area because of the affluent.
Yeah,
because
they just keep building the affluent like in the city. Right.
All right, so what I want to talk about is fake news.
You are fake news.
Perfect. And this is something, you know, that's been on the radar for a little while, but less like on the political side, but more about just the technology side of where it's going and how people can be tricked with technology these days and how it's advancing. I mean, it's pretty scary stuff. If you do start looking into it, I mean, just for an example, Elon Musk's OpenAI, they recently shut it down because of the malicious nature of the application of the technology. They got scared of it and turned it off because of how people could apply it.
How do you have a robot distinguish between fake news and real news? That's the question. What is real news? It's a fact, but a fact can be observed in different ways. So are news stations supposed to give opinion? Not really, but what would news be like with zero opinion and zero insight as to what the fact is about, right?
Yeah, at some point, are we going to be trusting this robot system to say, give us the green check to say, like, this is trusted source?
But news? What is trusted? What does that even mean? Because I think it means
it's going to be an algorithm.
I think it means this is the popular opinion. If 75% of people think that we landed on the moon, then we landed on the moon, and that's a fact. But if 75% of people thought that we didn't land on the moon, would that mean that we didn't land on the moon? Something to think about.
Chris, where do you see the scary stuff in fake news technology?
There's these companies now, one in particular called Synthesia. It's essentially a deep fake system. I love that. Deep fake's a technique for human image synthesis based on artificial intelligence. So it's creating fake images. You know, they got really popular because they did an almost identical match to David Beckham and had him looking identical to him, sounding exactly the same as him, but it wasn't. It was a totally computer-generated voice.
I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
So that is just getting started. Mark Cuban was an early investor with that. So imagine like 1,000 of these kinds of companies. It's going to change everything, you know, we thought we knew about news, fake news.
Not even fake news. Just what about solving crimes? Will a video confession be worth anything anymore if you can simulate that with a computer? That's really scary. I also wanted to talk about plastic. There are 14 billion pounds of garbage dumped into the ocean each year. Do you know how much plastic was recycled between 1950 and 2015?
Hit me.
9%. That tells me recycling doesn't, it's not working.
It's not even a dent, eh?
No. So 91% of plastic that's been created since the 50s is still in the landfills, in the ocean, on the streets, on the beaches, and there's no real sustainable solution for it. I'm involved in a nonprofit that cleans up plastic and garbage. There are a ton of them out there, but there's nothing that is able to really keep up with the production of plastic and the production of new trash.
Yeah, I think in my time in Asia, the thing that caught me the most in convenience stores was how much plastic they give you. Like, they give you straw, spoon, you know, plastic bag, 3 of them for 3 items. Like, you're just like, what is going on? I don't need, you know, a bag for my small bag of peanuts or something, you know? So for me, it's like the solution is to cut that off as much as possible. Like it's obviously like public education a little bit there, but.
Also, I think poorer countries are having this issue primarily. So what about monetizing trash? I think the solution is paying people to put trash or recyclables in the right places. That would solve the problem, but that's a lot easier said than done. Who pays for that?
And then it ties into like universal income, right? So like if you're going to apply for that or you're going to be eligible for that, you got to make a dent in that trash system.
Well, I was thinking even beach parking. Beaches have a major problem with trash. What if you parked at Venice Beach and instead of paying $35, you showed back up with 5 pounds of trash and they let you leave for free? But then you have to have somebody weighing the trash. It's just a huge issue that needs to be solved.
Kroger just announced that by 2025, they're going to be eliminating plastic bags, plastic straws completely. That's their vow.
Plastic straws or bags?
Both.
California's eliminated both. So Kroger's going to do that nationwide.
100%. And
that's a start, but it's not just plastic bags and straws. It's toothbrushes, it's combs. Dude, what blows my mind is when you go to the store and you get like basically a head of lettuce that's been washed and it's in this huge plastic container. That's crazy. You're taking some organic thing out of the ground. You're putting it in this big piece of plastic that's never going to get thrown away and it's going to destroy the earth. And think about all the millions of people every day that are buying those types of products, the single-use container products in the grocery store.
So a solution to that is banana leaves.
Banana leaves.
Thailand, there's a market in Thailand that ditched plastic and they're wrapping their lettuce, they're wrapping all of their vegetables in banana leaves.
I have a better solution. No, that not a better solution. I have a parallel solution. Not everything needs to be wrapped in anything. What about a grocery store? I'm going to give our listeners some top secret sauce right now. But what about a grocery store with no packaging, everything's in bulk, and you bring your own container? You want rice? Fill up your container with rice. You want pasta? Fill up your container with pasta. But everything is in bulk. I think we could at least start with basics like home cleaners, soaps, shampoos. There's no reason. I can't even think of how many plastic shampoo bottles or soap dispensers I've thrown away in the past month, never mind my entire life.
I think right when I hear that, what you're talking about, it's like, oh, I've kind of seen that, I guess. And when I start thinking about that process, it's like, oh, that's the expensive option. I think for that to work, like it needs to be affordable option.
Why do you think that that's expensive? Because here's the thing.
Because it's like a taste thing or like, you know, how they separate these things in like the nice grocery stores and the basic grocery stores. And
so this would be a totally different type of grocery store, but hear me out, right? Most brands spend more than 50% of their cost on packaging. they take their product. So let's look at a pasta company. They take their pasta, they have it shipped in a truck to a packaging facility, which then puts it in boxes. They put that on different trucks that go to different grocery stores. What if you cut out the boxing company and the truck went straight from the plant or the factory to the store and filled up a silo inside of that store with that product? They're saving money on the packaging. They're saving money on the transportation costs. Therefore, the price of the product could potentially be cut in half.
But what about like shelf life and stuff like that? I mean, now, you know, like pasta, just because it's a dry food, you're saying it doesn't need to be packaged?
I think there are a lot of things that have a pretty solid, you know, a 2-3 year shelf life. And it would just be a matter of tracking when the product was put into the silo and when the last product's taken out. But that's why I said it'd be easier to start with like shampoo and soap, things that really have essentially an unlimited shelf life, or at least a very long one.
Yeah, I just hope it's like when you go into the grocery store, or like let's say that they start changing to do that, right? That should be the less expensive option for me to like get the stuff that's not packaged and it actually tastes better. You know,
what about the whole grocery store? That's the only option though. Think right, about yeah, I mean, keg that's beer. Cool. That's kind of the example, right? And it doesn't have to be these giant silos. So when you're talking about shelf life, what if it's the size of a keg full of pasta and so pasta company delivers 10 of those a month to Target and people are just cranking them and filling their little thing. A pound of pasta costs probably 20 cents to make. They could sell it for a dollar and make a killing. You're paying $4 at the grocery store because you're paying for the cardboard box with the plastic see-through opening and the branding and the colors and all that crap that comes with it that we throw away.
And it's not even something where you could just, you know, get as much pasta as you want. Maybe it has options like half pound, one pound.
Maybe you could get as much as you want. That would be really cool because think about all the food that we waste. That's a whole nother issue, especially shopping for one or two people. You're throwing away half of your dinner all the time.
So I wanted to talk about homeless in the United States.
Coming from Los Angeles, that's a pretty intense topic because we have... Isn't it the largest homeless population in the U.S.?
I'm looking at a map right now, sourced by the United States Interagency Council of Homelessness. In California alone, in 2018, 129,972 people,
oh my God,
were considered chronic homeless, meaning they just don't have a place to go.
129,000?
Yes, right here in Texas.
That's five times the population of my hometown where I grew up. That's insane.
So look at this. Texas, the biggest state, only 25,310.
What's the problem with, what do you blame? Mental health? It's a big one. A lot of people blame politics, and I have a problem with that because California has plenty of jobs. Tech lives in California, and that's really what's driving the economy right now. Some of the most valued companies that provide the most jobs are based out of California. So I don't think that it has much to do with the economics of the state, but rather I think it's a deep-seated issue that goes back 60, 70 years to when mental health facilities in the United States shut down.
Right, and these people have nowhere to go. These homeless people either have severe drug problems, mental illness problems, to where maybe society or the state looks at them like it's their problem.
Right. You know? And I think a lot of them are supposed to be medicated, or they need to be medicated. And because they can't afford that medication and they're not getting treatment, they're self-medicating with who knows what, right?
Right.
So do you have any ideas to solve that problem?
I know in Seattle, the state started creating like little one-room shelters almost. These people can live in and have somewhere to sleep. I'm sure they also help them get in the right direction of finding a job, cleaning up, and things like that. And I think we need more of those organizations that are willing to help the homeless.
I had the opportunity of touring a place called Mobile Loaves and Fishes. I think I told you about this. It was started by billionaire John Paul DeJoria and this really, really cool guy, Alan Graham. Similar concept to what you're talking about. It's basically a self-sustaining community. They do their own farming, their own gardening, They build the houses. The people that live in the community help build the houses. At the same time, they're actually not forced to. So they can go and live there for a very low price. Basically, their welfare covers the cost of living there. And then they can volunteer if they wish to do certain things. They can also pick up jobs where they get paid to do them. They have a whole art studio there, for example, where they sell art back to the community and they use that money to sustain the community.
It sounds exactly like a summer camp.
It pretty much is. Honestly, I went there and I expected like a Skid Row situation. It was extremely clean. The people that I met there that were chronically homeless, you know, they have requirements on getting in. And one of the requirements is that you need to be chronically homeless. You can't be homeless for a month. You can't be in just a temporary bad situation. You need to have been homeless for a certain period of time. So the chronically homeless people there, many of them were off drugs. They were into art. They were into photography. They were into gardening. They were into building. They had a blacksmith shop. It was really, really cool. And I think if we start at the local level in communities and we build small, different ideas like that, that's the solution. I don't think that we're going to fix homelessness with a big one-size-fits-all solution.
I love the idea of like a place where me and you could go to like learn like how to live off the land skills for like a weekend or something like that. And you're learning from these homeless people who have been like, putting this thing together like you were talking about.
That's great. Like a Boy Scouts for adults, but led by homeless people that have special skills because they've needed to survive without the luxuries that we have. Yeah, that's great. That's a really good idea.
Learn their hacks and stuff.
Yeah. You know? So go check out MLF.org. Thank you for listening to Made Theory. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Made Theory Show.